Good morning. Let's go ahead and get started. If we're about a minute or so behind, we can blame the prayer warriors this morning, but thank God for those prayer warriors that pray in the morning. We will be continuing with Philippians 4:4. All the book of Philippians, first of all, as we started with chapter 1, 2, 3, and now we're on chapter 4, and Paul was warning us of people, ungodly people outside of the church, remember? And then he warned us on chapter 2 of being aware of those that come with sheep's clothing, but in reality are wolves. He warned us to be careful, take care of others, okay? And then he rebuked the ladies for, and not just them, but he was talking in general of how we cannot have a bitter heart and serve the Lord. It doesn't take your salvation, but we need to be very careful. And all the verses, all the chapters are very important, but the key verse for Philippians, the book of Philippians, is found in chapter 4:4. This is what we'll be. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, help us, Lord, to learn what you have to say to us, Lord. In the Sunday school, the morning service, the evening service, Lord, you have something. You did not bring us here to entertain us. You brought us here to teach us to live a godly life within the church and without the church, and to be the light to the world around our church, around our homes, around wherever we may be, Lord. This morning we'll be speaking about having an unhappy spirit, Lord, and we have to be very careful, Lord. So, Father, as we begin, we ask your blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Everything that God allows in our lives, whether it's good or bad, at least that's how we see it. Because the Lord wants the best for each and every one of us. Sometimes we might not understand. But everything the Lord does in our lives is for his honor and glory. Okay? Sometimes the Lord will tell us, yes. Okay? The Lord, and we are good when the Lord tells us, yes. We feel like we deserve it, right? We deserve. But it's not because we deserve it, because we don't. It is God's grace that he has told us yes, right? And when he tells us yes, may we not be like those 10 leprosy that only one came back. They didn't appreciate what the Lord does. Sometimes the Lord tells us yes, and we boast, oh, the Lord's so good to me, but what did we learn of the Lord telling us yes? Did we give him the honor and glory? Did people see how the Lord blessed us and how we thanked him when he said yes? And this is all of us, because we are human, and we tend to say, oh. And Paul warns us. Let's see how we feel. Let's go to the book of Psalms 34, 4 and 6. Again, bear with me, because of my vision, it goes everywhere, so that's why I write with big letters. But I'm starting, I've been asking the Lord to help me read out of the Bible, because everything, it's a lot of times it's so simple just to read it, but I have to write it in big letters because I can't see everything goes. But the Lord has been giving me a green light that I'm able, as long as I read kind of slow, I'm doing a good job at least. And I thank my God, because in doing that, I'm able to edify God's people. That's all. It's not about me. It's about us praising him. Okay? So in Psalm 34, 4 and 6, I thought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Then verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. He said, yes. There's been many times in my life, in your life, where the Lord has told us yes. Many times. And you yourself are your own witness that he has. But what have we learned when he said yes? Did we praise him? Are we appreciate what he has done for us? What did we learn? So that we can give him more honor and others can see that guy is very thankful. We have a grateful attitude, a thankful attitude. There's other times that the Lord will tell us, wait, and we are not very patient at waiting. At least I'm not, I have to admit it. But you know what? There's been times where I'm on the freeway and everything's nice and good. Everything's going good. There's a car in front of me and he moves out of the way and I'm going home from church. And I step at the red light and as I get off the freeway, that light just happens to turn green and I just go home. And all the lights are green. Yes. Does yes, right? I go home and I just even take a nap, and the Lord said yes. But then there comes time in our lives where the Lord will say, wait. He hasn't said yes yet or no. He just says, wait. There's times where our children tell us that they need something, and we not that we're telling them no, but wait. And they have to wait. And so we go to the red light. You know what? I was timing the red light when I get off the freeway. And I'm going and the red light, the green lights, and I'm stepping on the gas. And boom, it turns yellow, red. And by the time I get there, I have to wait. I'm not good at waiting. And so you say, my goodness, I've been here for 2 hours, 2 days, or it's only a minute and 30 seconds to a minute. But how do we wait? Then we go, you know what? Why, I tell my wife, why don't we just go through the drive-thru and get a Whataburger and we'll order it to go, and then we'll just go home and eat it. So we get on the drive-thru line because there's a lot of people inside and there's only 2 cars in front of you. And my goodness, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, and that line's not moving. And if you in reality, you didn't even spend more than 5 minutes here, but you were attitude. When we have to wait in line, when we go to get our driver's license, or when we have to wait in line at the grocery store, can people see a difference in our lives? I've noticed when I you know what, I say, Lord, help me to be. And out there in the grocery store, and this lady forgot a price tag. So and then they put that light on hold, and it's blinking. But you know what? I said, Lord, you tell me to wait, and I'm going to wait. And it was in reality 15 minutes that passed by, but it seemed like a long time. It was. And the lady said, "Thank you for your patience." And I said, "You're welcome." I said, "That's what we need to do. We need to be patient, just as the Lord is patient with us." And, "Well, thank you for waiting." And I kept going. How is your patience? Do you throw a fit? Or do you give him the honor and glory? Remember, when the Lord said yes, it's for his honor and glory. When the Lord says wait, it's for his honor and glory. And let's see what the Lord has to say when he tells us to wait. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 1. This is what the Lord wants of us. Are you there? Yes, sir. Well, if not, just follow me. I waited how? Patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. See? He'll always, but whether you have to wait, it's all purpose. And when we finally get what we wanted, are we appreciative for done for us? Are we thankful? And say, "Lord, thank you for allowing me. What did I learn in waiting?" You know, when you go to the doctor, and sometimes you have to wait. But you know what? When you finally get there, now you'll understand why he took a long time. Because now the same care that he was giving that other patient, he's giving it to you. So, Lord, forgive me. And I am impatient, and I cause problems around me, Lord. Help me to have a grateful spirit, because we're talking about of an unhappy spirit. What causes us to be unhappy? Okay? This is what Paul is warning us. Beware of an unhappy spirit. And then there will be times when the Lord will tell you no. Many times the Lord had told me no. Because he forgot me? No. He has a purpose, whether I understand it or not. It's all for his honor and glory. Many times he's told me no. And I throw up. Sometimes the Lord tells me, "What part of no don't you understand? The in or the O, it's no." So we need to be very careful. Lord, forgive me. What did I learn when my mom, my brother, my sister, when COVID started, all of them passed away 1 week after another? You know why, when they were sick and I hurt my, you know what, that COVID, wow, it was a painful death watching people die. And I mean, there wasn't a neighbor or a pastor that I knew or a missionary that I knew that some of their families died. And so I went and I started fasting. Lord, certainly by fast you're going to hear me. And the Lord heard me and said, "No. I know it's going to hurt you, but I have a better plan for them. I'm taking them home." He said, "No." I've lost my, about 90, 93, 94% of my hearing's gone, and I struggled. And I know that Tony and Marlene and many have been praying for me, but the Lord has told me, "No, you settle with what I've given you." And sometimes I've even, the Lord got me good that day that Pastor Cook, and I like the way Pastor Cook gives his illustrations. It just, they stay on me. And so I say, "Lord," I was sitting right there, and why do I even come? I can hear. Thank God that if you're up here and I can hear you, but the testimonies and a lot of them, I can't hear them unless you're right by me. So my wife writes them down, and that's how I'm, or pastor repeats them, and that's how I'm able to communicate. And God said, it's not about you. It's about you giving me honor and glory the way you are. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And Pastor Cook was, it's like God told Pastor Cook, this guy is having a pity party. Go talk to him. And so in his message, he was talking about giving in the tower like boxers. And he said, the manager of that boxer will not want him to get hurt. And when the manager sees that something's wrong, he'll throw in the towel for him, right? And he said, the manager has not thrown in the towel for you, so you get up. And he was preaching in general, but it was like he was pointing a finger at me. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And thank you for using this servant of you to let me know. No, I've told you no, but I can still use you. And it's for his, again, for his honor and glory. Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to, bear with me, I'll read slow, 12 to 7. And I did not write it with big letters this time. I said, Lord, help me. And I know that my brothers and sisters are praying for me, and I'll do my best, Lord. Second Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is Paul. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know why he's saying that? Remember when he was on his way, problems and persecuted the church, and the Lord got a hold of him, okay? And the Lord spoke. The other ones heard a voice, but they couldn't see what. Can you imagine? And speaking direct to us, even though he does through the Holy Spirit, but Jesus spoke to Paul directly. Oh, I'm special. He spoke to me. He spoke to me. Unless I should boast that the reason that I'm here is because, he said, a messenger was given unto me. Okay? And then he says, for this thing I besought the Lord, how many times? Thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, no. He said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I really believe, okay, what was the thorn that God gave him? Remember when he was on his way to Damascus? And then all of a sudden, after the Lord spoke to him, he couldn't see. And they had to guide him. And then I think it was Ananias that go and went and prayed for him. Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Now this is me, don't go saying, well, Brother Enoch said, no, this is just me. I study, and the Lord lets us assume. But we need to get back to what he said. We need to be very sure that it's not us, but what he said. But the reason I say that And let's go. I edit this on because I have my eyesight. And I just related a little bit. Not that I was like Paul because I'm far away from him. But because of my eyesight, I studied. Let's go to Galatians 4. I hope I have time here. Galatians 4, 13. Let's see. 13 through 15. And Paul, speaking to the Galatians, says, "Ye know how through infirmities of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptations which was in my flesh," okay, he's speaking about his problem, "he despised not or rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? Look at what it says here. For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your eyes and had given them to me." And then go to Galatians 6:11. He says, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." Most of the letters that Paul would write, he would have a dictator. I'd be speaking, Tony, dictating, and then he would send. That's how Paul would communicate. But on this letter, he writes it with his own handwriting, with little letters. No, because he couldn't maybe see, but with big letters. Maybe he was trying to get a point across, but this is me again. Don't. I just assume that was his problem, but the Bible really doesn't say. I'm just assuming based on what's going on. So the Lord told him no, and he never complained. He said, "Lord, is this what you've given me?" I mean, he had gotten beaten. He suffered shipwreck, and he suffered hunger. He was among thieves, and yet he never murmured. He said, "All to the honor and glory of God." And we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When he says yes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When he says wait, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, all for his honor and glory. And when he says no, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, because it's all for his honor and glory. Let's go ahead. I still have time. That was just an add-on, but I think it goes with what I'm saying here. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Coming Christmas, my wife, we've been married for 43 years. She's only gotten the flu 3 times. When we first got married, it was snowing, and we woke up, it was all full of snow, real nice and white, and about two, 3 days, she came with the flu, a cold, real bad one. And then about 15, 20 years after, she got another one, more or less. And then recently, in Christmas, we all got the flu, real bad flu. It took, as a matter of fact, I'm just coming out of it, about 5 weeks. And I'd be talking to you, and I was sneezing. And I said, Lord, you have to help me. And the Lord told me to wait. It didn't look like something pleasant. But now I see, Lord, I see why you had me here. I thank you, Lord. Forgive me for not being patient. And this is why it's saying, now no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised. When you're going through that problem, we need to rejoice. Thank you. Rejoice. Yes, I don't understand, but I rejoice because I know that whether I live or die, I know that I'll go to be with the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. We have all the reasons as Christians to enjoy life because it doesn't matter if I'm in. I just hope that the Lord, like Enoch, takes me in the rapture. I just do. I hope, and this is what I tell my wife, I hope that when we're at church, the Lord comes for us at church. What a nice place for the Lord to come for us, right? And so, but it's a blessing. So let's go ahead and finish with Philippians 4:11. And this is where we're at. Philippians. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. It doesn't matter what happens. We need to be content whether the Lord tells us yes. We like that, right? Tells us, wait, not too good. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he says, no. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, Lord, thank you for telling me no. Because he will always want the best for us. So when he says no, thank you, Lord. I might not until I get there. But when you told me no, it's for my own good. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, we ask that you forgive us for having an unhappy spirit when things do not go our way. When you tell us to wait or you tell us no, yeah, Lord, we are so quick to rejoice when you say yes. But are we giving you the honor and glory? Are we rejoicing in you, like you say in Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Lord, help us to wait patiently when you tell us to wait. And help us to give you the honor and glory when you tell us no, because you know what's best for us. Father, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds and prepare us for the message that you have for us. I know that Pastor Cook has really cooked a good breakfast for us this morning. And he has prepared, and it's all for your honor and glory. Be with those that will be coming in. Be with our visitors. Be with our family here at Harvest. And thank you for bringing the Thornton back here. We hadn't seen them in a while. We saw them when Sam was reading their letter. But it's always a pleasure to have them here, Lord. Father, be with us, and we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Thank you.